This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Pacific Watch. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to a crisis that's been building for several years. If this is the third year of the drought, we have never seen before the bottom of Lake Mead is imaginable. Lake Mead is the construction from the Colorado River that makes electricity possible throughout the region. And Jeff sent me a picture earlier in the week of the intake valve at the bottom of Lake Mead, visible for the first time maybe ever since they constructed the dam. Jeff, a very good evening to you. How long have we got to decide whether Lake Mead can sustain power for the region? Is there an estimate of how fast this is going and what the drought means for the third year? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think we're looking at this year is going to be very critical for the folks at Lake Mead, at Hoover Dam, all the customers that it serves power-wise, and of course, all the water that comes down through there. So, this whole next summer and, you know, as we see this drought progress, we're really going to have some better answers about that. But just to give you an idea how bad it is, current levels are only a little bit above 1,000 feet above sea level, where it's normally about 1,300 feet or more. And so that's quite a drop of over 300 feet. So when you go to that area, you can see along the sides of the canyon walls just how far it's dropped. It's really a marked difference. And, you know, this is Lake Mead is the largest human-made reservoir in the U.S., and it serves all the western states in this area, you know, both in terms of water and electricity is very important, especially Las Vegas. It's fed by the Colorado River and the outflows from the Hoover Dam. And this is going to be, this is really a crucial time for the lake, for the dam, and all the customers.
We have Northern California, Yuba City, imposing mandatory water cutbacks, entering severe shortage restrictions already. This is according to the Sacramento Bee. I'm unfamiliar. Does this spread, or can you isolate the shortages with just restrictions here and there, or does the whole of Northern California go now on a restriction?
It's being handled in a way almost like a district by district type situation, depending on the people there, their needs, and what they already have in terms of their reservoir or their, you know, their water access right now. And there are certainly places in California where, you know, we're all being hit by the drought everywhere, but some are faring better than others. For instance, down in San Diego, they took measures a long time ago and they're faring much better. They may not even have to do any rationing down there, but you've got other places, certainly in the Los Angeles area. And then as you get up north in the Bay Area and Sacramento, where it's going to be very drastic. It's not going to be just a matter of not watering your lawns or, you know, running your appliances later at night, you know, in terms of like dishwashers. It's going to mean, you know, wholesale cuts for a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be suffering. Probably a good thing that a lot of people are working remote, because we're talking about even cutting showers.
Let's go to Southern California then. Do you have notices right now about rationing for water? Are you given a heads up when that might start?
We've been given a heads up. We don't really have a specific date of when that's going to happen, although some communities are already hearing that, like I said, in these smaller districts. But what we are being told via radio, TV, the web, news stories are that this is coming. It's a for sure thing. You know, before we used to talk about it as a possible event happening for us, but now we know for sure it's going to happen. They're just trying to decide right now how drastic it's going to be and when to pull the trigger. We think it's just really right around the corner, probably May, June at the latest. And these are going to be big cuts for everybody.
And I'm looking at Rancho Cucamonga, Thousand Oaks, Baldwin Park to North Hollywood, Santa Monica, Long Beach, Torrance, Beverly Hills. That's everybody. There's no good. Everybody's going to be hit.
Those are communities are all going to be hit. There are other communities in between them, or like I said, some that have their own water supplies that are going to be better off. Maybe some will be worse off, but that does cover quite the gamut. You know, it feels like almost Southern California.
We go to Los Angeles because there's a mayor's race that's very important to the future of Los Angeles, given the recovery from the pandemic. And Jeff, what you've reported about crime and the boldness of some of these gangs operating. The race, as I understand it, is between a man named Rick Caruso, who's famous as a developer, not a politician, who spends a lot of money on promoting his campaign. And Karen Bass, a representative who's very well thought of in Sacramento by the governor and is a member of Congress. Is there an indication right now about Caruso or Bass, or is it too close to call?
It appears that Caruso is slowly but surely pulling away from Bass. He's been on this upward trajectory. There doesn't seem to be much that's going to stop that from continuing. I think you'll see more and more of the, you know, lesser folks fall away, and some of those people might go over to Karen Bass. But I think what's happening is Caruso is opening such a lead right now. It's early enough. He's got such great name recognition. He's making so many appearances on TV and other, you know, media venues. It's going to be really tough for anybody to beat him. He really seems to be, it seems to be his race to lose.
There's an article in the San Francisco Chronicle that speculates that Karen Bass, if she is not the mayor of Los Angeles, would be a very attractive choice for the governor in the event that Dianne Feinstein steps away from the Senate or doesn't run again. Has the governor indicated in some fashion which way he might go?
Sources inside the Capitol say that he seems to be leaning toward Bass. And there are a lot of people that are hopeful that way, because I think they see the writing on the wall that Caruso is so strong. In addition, you have Governor Newsom saying, you know, that he's pledged to nominate a black woman should that seat open. You know, people are saying, look, we lost Kamala Harris to the white, to the, you know, vice presidency. Then we need to have another black woman take that place. And so he has, you know, said, okay, that's what I'll do. And people are saying that's the right logical choice, especially if she does not win the mayoral race.
What does Caruso mean for Los Angeles, Jeff? Does he have a presentation that says this will happen right away if he becomes the mayor?
He does. Matter of fact, he came out this week with a new presentation about housing the homeless. He said, look, on day one, I'm going to start building 30,000 units for the homeless in Los Angeles. Now, that's huge, because before we've been talking about a handful there, you know, like dozens, when you've got a population that could be between 50 and 100,000 people. So if you took 30,000 people off the street and you did it with the, you know, the wisdom that a developer like Caruso has, we're probably going to make a dent. You know, Bass has since joined in and said, well, I'm going to have a proposal that's going to house 15,000, but she hasn't really, you know, meted it out like Caruso has. Like I said, Caruso's a developer. He knows what he's doing when it comes to building and space. And that's another reason why he probably will win.
Wildlife. We've talked of the bears of Lake Tahoe, spectacular stories. Now there is a story that is alarming about a coyote attack on Huntington Beach. Isn't that your stomping grounds, Jeff? Huntington Beach.
It's a favorite surfing area and, you know, beach hangout area. And it's really surprising. It's not surprising to see coyotes in the area, though it is to see them actually on the sand. And so last night around 9:45 p.m. Pacific time, there was a family out there on the beach, probably out around the fire rings enjoying a bonfire. And a coyote came up and attacked a little girl, a little three-year-old, and left her injured. And the police responded right away. They wounded the coyote, but they haven't been able to find it. Coyotes are everywhere. I often can look out my window of my home office here and see them. I see them when I visit family up in Long Beach or anywhere in Southern California. They're very commonplace, but it is uncommon for them to attack people. And I've talked to coyote expert Ted Stankwich at Cal State Long Beach. He's probably one of the preeminent experts. And he said, usually that means a coyote is ill. They do not want to attack people at all. That's just, they don't see them as prey because people are much bigger. So there's not a worry that this is going to be a rash of these things, but they do need to find that coyote.
The third year of the drought looming for Jeff Bliss is Pacific One. I'm John Batchelor.